Whatever we do in life, we need to give it to the Lord Jesus because it is all His. Nothing from us, everything good comes from the good God. Amen? And our good God is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen to that? Very good. Today, my beloveds, we are going to continue our topic in relation to the spiritual struggle between Rachel and Leah. Now, for those who are joining us today, you may not know exactly what we spoke about, but you can always go back to it because it is obviously on the church social media platforms, whether it be YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. So the spiritual struggle between Rachel and Leah, today is part two. Just to connect last time what we spoke about and then continue with it today, we said that Leah gave our father Jacob four sons. They were the first one Reuben, and Reuben means I saw the sun. Second was Simon or Simeon. To him, listen, you shall listen. Third one, Levi or Levi. It is a matrimonial bond enjoined in marriage. And then Judah means let him who is God be praised. Let God be praised, or let him be praised. Now, Reuben is the blessing and the birthright. The firstborn receives doubles according to the law. So Reuben here represents the blessings. Simon, the word of God. Levi, the priesthood that will bring you closer to God. And Judah, the Savior, who is Jesus Christ, who came from the tribe of Judah in the flesh. So the Savior who came to save you from all that is yours and give you all that is His. He came to save us from all that is ours and give us all that is His. These are the fruits which Jacob reaped from Leah. Now we said that Jacob did not want to marry Leah because he did not love her, but he was deep in love with Rachel, and he worked 14 years of slavery just to marry Rachel. But the one whom he did not love, the one who was not happy in marrying her, his uncle Laban, you know, deceived him in a way and gave him Leah. He found out the following day of marriage, which was too late, that it was Leah, it wasn't Rachel, and it was too late for that. But the one whom he refused to marry, the one who did not want, and it was given to him for free, for God's sake, Rachel, 14 years of slavery. Leah was for free. He didn't want her, but she gave him the four sons, Reuben, Simon, Levi, and Judah. Stunning. The foundational sons that came later on, the nation of Israel. Foundational. Now today, my beloved, we'll continue the journey about the fruits which Jacob reaped from Rachel this time. Last time it was the fruits which he reaped from Leah. Today, the fruits which he reaped from Rachel, the one who loved, the one who died for, the one who worked 14 years of slavery for his uncle Laban just to marry the love of his life, Rachel. Let's see what kind of fruits she gave Jacob. Well, she gave him two fruits, two sons. One, Benjamin, the other, Joseph. Obviously, Joseph is the older than Benjamin. What happened? Benjamin, my beloved, during birth, Rachel died. While giving birth, Rachel dies. Jacob's love was lost, gone. Benjamin, while coming to this world, took the life of his mother. Jacob's love was gone for good. Joseph, the other fruit, the other son, broke his father's heart. Why? Because the other brothers became jealous of Joseph. He was the father's favorite. So they became jealous. They tried to kill him. Then they dropped him. They threw him into this well. And then they sold him as a slave to these Ishmaelite merchants, which took him to Egypt as a slave. And then they went back to the father and they said, your brother Joseph is died. Looks like he's been eaten by a vicious animal in the wilderness. So Benjamin kills the love of Jacob's. Rachel dies. And Joseph breaks the father's heart by disappearing. And this is all we are going to reap from this world. We said Rachel represents the world and Leah represents heaven. We don't want eternal life, but we chase after temporal life. We are not interested in heaven, but we are all interested in this world, the temptations of this world, the pleasures and the treasures of this world. We run for it. When it comes to the club, we run. But when it comes to the church, we don't want to go. I'm not interested to go to church, but I'm extremely interested in going to the club, to the pub, and to the concert of some Hollywood celebrity coming to Sydney. Rachel, I will work as a slave just to gain her. But Leah is given for free. Eternal life is given for free. When you come to church, Christ has given you his blood and body to give you eternal life, and you don't want to come to church, but you'll go to the club and pay hundreds and thousands of dollars just to enter the club. But you don't wish to enter the church for free, my beloved. The club will give you death and the church will give you eternal life. But you choose to go to the club over going to the church. And this is what happens when we chase after Rachel, the world. The world will take away your love and the world will break your heart at the end. That's all you're going to get. The world will take away your love and the world will break your heart at the end, my beloved. The world takes away your love. See, the world tells you to do this. Enjoy life. Have fun. Do as you please. But tomorrow I will bury you. Enjoy life. Have fun. Go for it. Don't worry about anything. You're free. Enjoy that freedom. Do as you wish. But tomorrow I will bury you. The world will swallow you in that little grave. And once I go in that grave, all that love is taken away from me. And the world will break your heart like it did with Jacob by losing his son Joseph. The world breaks your heart. You put all your hope in the world, and at the end, you come out with a broken heart. Disappointed, my beloved. Because in Job chapter 14, verse 1, the Holy Bible tells us, man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. This is the world. Your days are short and they are full of trouble. Why are you chasing the world? Why are you focusing on the world? Don't live for this world. It's going to take your love away and it's going to break your heart at the end. All of us are born into this world crying. We never heard anyone coming to this world laughing. Everybody is born crying. This is the world. It gives you nothing but brokenness and tears shedding from your eyes. Yet, so many people still love the world and they don't want to do anything else but cling onto this vanity of all vanities called this world. The struggle with our father Jacob was, number one, he loved Rachel. The Lord said to him, in order for you to truly struggle and strive in life, I will have to take Rachel away from you. The only way, Jacob, that you are truly going to struggle in order to strive, to move forward, to succeed in life, I have to take Rachel away from you. Now, I want to draw your attention to a very specific point here. You see, when Jacob heard that his brother Esau is coming with 400 armed men with him, he got scared. Esau's coming with 400 armed men. So what did he do? Jacob lined up first his two female servants and their sons. See, Esau wasn't coming just to say hello to his brother Jacob. If he was coming just to say hello, why would he come with another 400 armed men? So definitely he was coming to kill his brother Jacob. Why? Because Jacob stole Esau's blessing because mom told him what to do in order to steal his brother Esau's blessing. So Esau said, I will not give up until I behead my brother. I'm going to kill him. So he was coming with 400 equipped and armed men. Now the moment Jacob heard this news, fear engulfed him and said to himself, what shall I do? My brother's coming with 400 armed men. Again, he used his head. You see, Jacob's mistake, all of his life, he relied on his intellect. He always used his head in everything in life. Did not seek God's counsel. He relied on his intellect. So again, he is relying on his intellect here. He said, what shall I do? So to his genius way of thinking, Jacob said, well, this is what I'm going to do to ease the situation and calm it in order for my brother not to kill me. I'm going to prepare for my brother Esau three gifts. Each gift, let's say, equivalent of today's monetary value, $250,000. Each gift, $250,000. And then he said, I'm going to put a distance between this gift and the next 2 kilometers. So I'm going to send the first gift with some people with it. And then when they pass those 2 kilometers, I'm going to send the other gift. And another 2 kilometers gone by, I'm going to send the third gift. One after the other, each one gaps is 2 kilometer gap between this gift and the other one. But each gift valued up to $250,000, $250,000. Now the first gift moved with people with it. Esau meets these people along the way. He's coming to meet Jacob. So along the way, these people come with the gift. So Esau meets them and he says, who are you and where are you going? They said, we are the servant of Jacob, your servant. And we have a small gift from your servant Jacob to his master Esau. Wow, look what he taught them. He said, we are Jacob's servants. And this is a small gift from your servant Jacob to his master Esau. They're brothers. But he said, tell him I'm his servant and he is my master. Jacob thought that once Esau sees the first gift, his anger will go down at least by quarter. He's now 100% angry. He sees the first gift, $250,000. That's going to calm him down. So a quarter of anger is going to go down. So now Esau walks another 2 kilometers. He meets more people and he asks him the same question. Who are you? Where are you going? They said, we are Jacob's servants and this is a small gift from your servant Jacob to his master Esau. Then now his anger goes down to 50%. And then the third gift, Jacob is really doing quite well here. He's saying now, with the third gift, definitely Esau's anger is now 75% less, which he got it totally wrong. Now again, the third gift is from your servant Jacob to his master Esau. Now the anger has definitely gone down to 75% according to the genius Jacob. But what Jacob did not realize and never thought of, because he used his head only, did not seek God's help, he did not realize that when Esau saw the first gift and saw that it's worth $250,000, straight away he said, "Well, well, well, I just wonder how much capital Jacob has. Since he stole my blessing, look how much God has blessed him. He's given me a small gift, and the small gift to him is worth $250,000. Well, thank you, Jacob, for stealing my blessings, because it was mine. I would have been the rich man. Because you stole my blessing, now you've got all the richness and the success in life. This time, definitely, I'm going to behead you. If there was 1% chance that I would change my mind and not kill you, now that 1% is gone. Thanks to you, Jacob. I'm going to kill you, because now I'm really angry. You steal my blessing and you get all the success, and I come out with nothing. I'll fix you up." So many times we behave exactly like Jacob. We receive a blessing and we put on a show before everyone. Look what I have. Thinking that by putting on a show before in front of everyone, you are going to gain their favor. It's quite the contrary. You're creating enemies for yourself. So when God blesses you, you don't go and let that trumpet blow before the whole world. When God gives you something, you keep it to yourself. It is between you and God. All the people are not in need of knowing what God has given you. But you see, the reason why we do that, because we want to be boastful about it. Look at me. God gave it to me, not to you. Look, I'm driving a Mercedes Benz. When I'm coming to getting married, I'm maybe a multimillionaire. Marriage will cost me $2 million. Relax. Why are you putting on a show? Do it normal. You see, marriage is not about $2 million wedding. Marriage is about two hearts coming in unity with the heart of Christ. It's not about putting on a show. Look at my face now. Look at my dress now. Look at my voice now. Look at my diamond ring now. Look at this. Look at my house. Look at my Ferrari. Don't be boastful like Jacob. Don't use your head. Let God guide your steps in this life. Let God guide your steps in this life. Don't take it into your hands. Jacob thought by giving presents to his brother is going to calm him down, not realizing it made him more angry now. So now Jacob has heard that his brother Esau is coming with 400 armed men. He said, "Well, I need to get ready now. Well, I've sent the three presents now. The first one calmed him by 25%. The second one by 50, the third one by 75. By the time he gets here, that last 25% of his anger would have evaporated. Not realizing he's now fuming, a volcano about to erupt upon Jacob. So what does the genius Jacob do? And I should say our father Jacob, because at the end he's a saint in heaven. But it's a lesson. We are all Jacob. Don't be offended and upset with Jacob. We are all the same. So what did our father Jacob do? He lines up his two servants, females and their children, and then Leah and then Rachel, in this particular order. Look, he starts with Leah's maid and her two sons. Leah was his first wife. His first wife had two maids. So he lines Leah's maid with, she had one maid, sorry, and that maid gave Jacob two sons. So he lines Leah's maid with her two sons. and her two sons. Then he lines up Rachel's maid and her two sons. Then, number three, he lines up Leah and her four sons. Number four, at the end, he lines up Joseph and the very last person in this particular order, he lines up Rachel, the love of his life. I'll say it again. Knowing Esau's coming with 400 armed men, he lines them up from first to last. First one, Leah's maid and her two sons. Second one, Rachel's maid and her two sons. Third one, Leah, his beloved wife, which he never loved. Leah and her four sons. Then fourth, he lines up Joseph, his favorite son. And the last one he lines up is Rachel, the love of his life. Why in this order? He said, well, when Esau comes to kill, he will begin from the first and end up with the last. I want Rachel to be last. He's using his head. He's using his head. While he's thinking, I'm going to line up in this way, the Lord comes to Jacob and says to him, have you lined them up? Then Jacob says, yes, Lord, I have. The Lord says, who is the last one in the line? Jacob says, it's Rachel. He says, oh, so Rachel is the last one in the line, yes? He said, yes. He said, well, guess what, Jacob? I'm going to start with the last first, end up with the first. I'm going to take Rachel first. You put Rachel last to be killed, I'm going to kill her first. My beloved son, my beloved daughter, don't ever plan things for God. Don't ever plan things for God. Number two, don't ever put your thoughts in God's plan. Number one, don't ever plan things for God. Number two, don't ever put your thoughts in God's plan. Because the Lord God says in Isaiah 55 verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Don't ever plan things for God, and don't ever put your thoughts in God's plan, because neither His ways are yours, nor His thoughts are yours. You put the one you love the most last, God will take the one you love the most first. His ways are totally different to your ways, and His way of thinking is totally different to your way of thinking. Oh. Now, prior to Jacob and Esau's encounter, Jacob crosses the ford of Jabbok with his two wives, his two female servants, and 11 sons. We read this earlier last week in Genesis 32, verse 22. Genesis 32, 22, we see Jacob takes his two wives, his two female servants, and 11 sons, and crosses them all through the ford of Jabbok. Now the word Jabbok means the flowing waters. Jabbok means the flowing waters. So he crosses them all across these flowing waters to the other side of the river. Now when he crosses with the family on the other side of these flowing waters, he sits there by himself. Now, what is strange about this place where Jacob sits by himself alone, what is strange about it geographically is this. To its right, to the right of this place, was the city of Sihon, king of the Amorites. We find this in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verse 26. Numbers 21, 26 was the city of Sihon, king of the Amorites. And to the left of this place was the city of Bashan, Og, king of Bashan. Now, there's a meaning to this. There is a meaning. To the right of the place where Jacob sat alone was the city of Sihon, king of the Amorites. The word Sihon means arrogant. Sihon means arrogant. And king of the Amorites is the elevated one, or the elevated people. Now, who is the arrogant, elevated one? Satan. Satan. So to the right of this place is the arrogant, elevated, boastful, self-exalted Satan. To the left of it is Og, O-G. It's written in English. Now, Og means crooked. And who is crooked here? Og symbolizes the body of sin. This is the crooked one. Our bodies are crooked because they are all sinful. So where we sat, or where Jacob sat, to his right was the arrogant, elevated Satan, and to his left, the crooked body of sin. And he said, in between. Now, the crooked one, Elijah says about the crooked one in 1 Kings 18:21. He says, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. If the Lord is God, follow him. And if it's Baal, then follow him. Do not falter between the two. You're either with the Lord or with Baal. Baal is Satan. You're either with the Lord or with Satan. You're either in the church or the club. You're either in the light or in darkness. You either drink the blood of Christ or the wine of this world. You either praise or swear. You either speak the truth or the lies. You cannot falter between the two. You can't be one day in the church, the next in the club. You can't praise, then swear. You can't tell the truth, then lie. You can't walk in the light and then in the darkness. You can't be with Christ and with Satan later on. It doesn't work. If Christ is the Lord, is God, then worship him. And if Satan is God, then worship him. But between having the two together in your life will never work. Will never work. Now, this is the crookedness and the faltering in our life between Satan and between this sinful body. We struggle. I say, I'll never do it again. And I will not listen to Satan, and I go and do it again. I will never put one foot in that club ever again, and I go again. I will never gamble, and I gamble. I'll never drink, and I will drink. I'll never take drugs, and I will again. I will never swear, and I swear again. It's a struggle because I'm living in this crooked og, which is the body, the sinful body, the weak body that drags me into the same mistake over and over and over again. And Satan, on the other hand, is tempting me and making it look so beautiful. Yet there is poison from within. This is the dilemma of all of us, my beloved. We are living in the body of sin, one, and we are living in the world placed in the bosom of Satan, who is the ruler of this world. This is the struggle. On one hand is a sinful nature. On the other hand, we're living in a world that is ruled by Satan, the father of all lies and the killer of mankind from the very beginning. For these reasons, the angel had to appear to Jacob in a form of a human being. Because Jacob is surrounded by Satan and the weakness of the flesh. That's why the angel appeared to Jacob in a form of a human being. This angel, my beloved, is the Lord Jesus himself. So the Lord Jesus appears in the Old Testament prior to his incarnation in the New Testament. And in the book of Hosea, he tells us this. In Hosea 12, verse 4, he says, yes, he struggled, meaning Jacob, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He struggled with the angel and he won. Jacob won. He wept and sought favor from him. Angel means servant. Angel means servant. And the Lord Jesus came to serve all and not be served by all. He came to serve us and not be served by us. Jacob wrestled with this angel. Jacob wrestled with this angel. Looks like we're going to finish early today. Jacob wrestled with this angel. From the beginning of the night till dawn, he wrestled with this angel. What did Jacob do and say? He said to the angel, bless me. The angel said, leave me alone. He said, no, I want you to bless me. The angel said, you better leave me alone, I say. Jacob said, no, I am saying to you, you have to bless me. The angel says to him, you are not up to this word that you're asking for. Bless me. You're not big enough for this word. I'm saying to you, you better walk away before you cop it from me. He says, no, I will not let go of you until you bless me. This was the wrestling from night till dawn, all night long till dawn. Jacob says to the angel, bless me. The angel says, walk away, go away. Bless me, walk away. Bless me, walk away. When dawn came, the angel touched the socket of Jacob's hip and was out of joint. He dislocated his hip. You know why he dislocated Jacob's hip? I'll tell you why. Last week, I don't know if you remember this. I'll refresh your memory. Jacob came and arrived at a well. And there were three shepherds. And then he said, do you know Laban? They said, yes. In fact, his daughter is on the way to the well with her father's flock, sheep. He said, okay, well, while she's coming to the well, why don't you just pull water out of this well and give water to your flock? They said, there is a very large stone on the mouth of this well. It takes maybe 7 to 10 men to move it. It's too heavy, and we're only three. We need to wait for more shepherds to come in order to move that stone from the mouth of the well to draw water and give it to the sheep or to the flock. While they were talking, Rachel arrives. For the first time, love at first sight. Jacob looks at Rachel and they say, here is your uncle, here is Laban's daughter. He looks at Rachel and he sees her stunningly beautiful. And he realized, he said, I didn't know my uncle had such a beautiful daughter. So he tried to be a show off. So he went to that large stone and he said, I'm going to be a show off and show Rachel that I am the most powerful man on earth, baby. Yo, what's up? So he put his foot firmly into the ground, meaning he leaned on his hip to push the stone. He relied on his hip to push the stone. He relied on the hip and he pushed the stone by himself. Rachel saw this man for the first time. She sees him. One man moves the stone, only maybe up to 10 men can only move. She said, whoa, who is this baby? This must be Romeo that Juliet has been waiting all along. So she liked him. The very hip that made Rachel love Jacob, the very hip the angel who is Jesus Christ broke it for him. Whatever you are boastful of, Christ will break it for you. You will never succeed. You want to go and find that for yourself? Please be my guest. But let me tell you this as a pre-warning based on love. You will suffer immensely till you find out. The Holy Bible is telling me and all of us, don't try to find that for yourself, because if you do, God is known to tell you and speak the truth. He is the only truth, and everyone else is a liar. So don't ever try to say to God, you're not telling me the truth. Don't ever do that. Whatever you try to be a show off with, God will break it for you. Jacob relied on the hip to push that stone from the mouth of the well. God dislocated that hip. Oh my goodness. My beloveds, pride is one of the most, if not the most dangerous thing ever. Pride. And when I say pride, I'm talking about self-glory, self-exaltation. What made this angel, who was the highest in the angelic orders in heaven, what made the highest angelic order, this angel, to fall from the highest rank to the lowest of the lowest of the lowest, you know, pits, was pride. This angel, who was from the rank of the cherubims, who is now called Lucifer, who is now called Satan. The reason why he fell from the highest place to the lowest place, pride engulfed him. And he said, I will take my throne above all these stars, and I'll make it equal to the throne of God. He said to God, you're God in heaven, I'll be God like you in heaven. You're a government, I'm a government, we're equal head to head. God said, there is only one I am in heaven, and there can never be another I am. If you remain in this wrongful way, you leave me no choice but to cast you out of my heaven. The angel who is spirit only, spirit only. Angels are made out of fire and light, by the way. Angels are made out of fire and light, very powerful and very knowledgeable. And especially the cherubims, which is the highest rank in the angelic orders, the Holy Bible, Genesis, says that they are full of eyes. And the word eye in the Bible represents knowledge. Knowledge. So this cherubim is full of knowledge. That's why Satan is full of knowledge. We can't win against him when we do it our way. He can deceive anyone and everyone before we blink our eyes. He is too wise for us. We cannot handle him. He is too wise for us. He even deceives the elect, the Holy Bible says, meaning the saints. Only Christ was able to overcome him and crushed his head once and for all on the cross on Calvary. Only Christ did that. No one else. No one else. No one else. Only Christ. Alone. Nobody assisted him. Nobody helped him. No one. No one. Only Christ. So my beloveds, if you think that you can do things on your own, and if you believe that you are free, and people coming in the 21st century trying to bluff you and lie to you and deceive you that you are living in a democratic country, it's freedom, you can do whatever you want, dress up, be whoever you want, male, female, in between, this, that, that is the deception of the snake Satan, the father of all lies. No one is free. No one. No one. He realized it, but it was too late for him to fix it. Pride engulfed him and he wanted to be like God. Like God. He fell from the highest place to the lowest place, which is hell. From this illuminative spirit to a dark, illuminative, beautiful spirit to a dark, ugly spirit. Now he's getting angry. But the Holy Cross rebuke him right now. In Jesus' mighty name, Satan, be gone. In Jesus' mighty name. My beloveds, what made this angel fall was pride. And angels, we said, they are spirits made out of fire and light, but they are spirits. So now, what is the human being made out of? Three things. First, Thessalonians 5:23. St. Paul says we're made out of body, soul, and spirit. So there is spirit in us. So now, what is the enemy of the spirit? Pride. What is the enemy of the spirit? Pride. What attacks your spirit as a human being is pride. What attacks your soul as a human being? Greed. I'm not going to give. I'm not going to donate. I'm not going to give nothing away. It's all mine. It's all mine. Greed is the enemy to your soul. And what is the enemy to your body? Lust. Pleasures. Having fun. Let's go downtown, brother. Let's go clubbing. That is the enemy. The enemy of your body is lust. The Lord gave a medication to it called fasting. The enemy to your soul is greed. The Lord gave a medication to it called charitable deeds. Give, don't take, don't be greedy. Be charitable. And the enemy to your spirit is pride. The Lord gave a medication to it called prayer. When you pray, you destroy the pride of the spirit. When you give, you destroy the greed of the soul. And when you fast, you destroy the lust and the temptation of the body. Don't ever be boastful about yourself. Don't ever take pride when you achieve something good. Don't ever take pride in your looks, in your possessions. Don't ever take pride. Don't ever say, look what I've done. Look what I've achieved. Look at me. Look what I have. Don't ever do that. Because the moment you do that, Satan is controlling you. The spirit is in deep trouble. Spirit is in deep trouble. But the problem, when the spirit is in deep trouble, then you are lacking wisdom. I don't have the time. You are lacking wisdom. And the moment you lack wisdom, you will not be able to discern what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil, what is light and what is darkness, what is truth and what is lies. You won't be able. And don't be shocked when people behave in this kind of a way, not realizing their right hand from their left, because the moment you lose that wisdom, you are absolutely spiritually blind. Spiritually blind. You won't see your way. You won't even know where you're walking, what you're doing, and what you're saying. You need to be very careful. So, when Jacob came, wrestling with this angel who is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he said, you need to bless me. And he said, walk away. He said, you need to bless me. He said, you better walk away. He said, you need to bless me. He said, you better walk away. You're not up to it. You see, Jacob is thinking that when God blesses me, I'm going to live like a king. And that's how some Christians think. When they come closer to Christ, He's going to bless them abundantly. Their life is going to be like living like a king. That's why they come to Jesus. But this is the wrong way you approach the Lord. You don't come to the Lord so He can heal your physical illness. You don't come to the Lord so He can make you rich and get you out of poorness. You don't come to the Lord so He can make you strong and take you out of weakness. You don't come to the Lord to bless you earthly, physically, materialistically. You come to the Lord because the Lord will bless you spiritually before anything else. Spiritually. So what was the stumbling stone for Jacob's spirit to advance? The flesh, Og, the crooked, sinful body. He said, I'm going to lie on my hip. And the spirit said, go for it, Jacob. Come on, because the spirit loves pride. So the body says, okay, I'm going to do it. When he came to God, says, bless me. He says, the only way I'm going to be able to bless you is when I break your hip to break that pride that engulfed you. Break the pride that engulfed you. What kind of a wrestling match was it between Jacob and the angel? Was Jesus Christ, who's God. What kind of a wrestling match was it? We'll continue next week. Told you, we're going to finish early. So now I can talk, so you're not going to finish that early. The spiritual struggle between Rachel and Leah. The spiritual struggle between Rachel and Leah. Rachel, the world. Leah, eternal life. Rachel is this world. Don't we all chase this world? So many people, all that they think of is how I live, where I live, what kind of a lifestyle I should have, what kind of a house, what kind of a car, money, dreams, ambitions, going, coming, flying, holidays, eating, drinking, dancing. That's all they think of. Materialistic, tangible world. My beloved, this world laughs in your face at the beginning, but then makes fun of you at the end. At the beginning, it welcomes you and says, come, my friend, you need to enjoy life. You deserve it. You're so good. You're so beautiful. You're so handsome. Don't ever listen to no one else but yourself. And this is the 21st century that we live in. The 21st century world says to you, all you need to care of and think of is you, no one else. Think about yourself. Live for yourself. And this is where psychology fails. Yes, psychology is good to somewhat degree, but then if you don't use the Christian basis and incorporate it with psychology, you'll end up teaching the person to be selfish. Because how will you come out of this depressing, you know, moment? Think of yourself only. Looks like you've been thinking of others. You have deprived yourself from so many good things. You spend all your time for others and you gave yourself nothing. From now on, think of no one but you. Dangerous. If we focus on it always, that is against the Lord. So now what do we need to do? I need to come and think for a moment. Okay, I'm going to go and have fun. I'm going to dress the way I want. I'm going to dance the way I want. I'm going to talk the way I want. I'm going to choose people the way I want. I'm going to live the way I want. I'm going to go and come the way I want. But at the end, where are you going to end up? The world, at the beginning, makes it honey. At the end, nothing but poison. I went and I had fun. And then I ended up being enslaved to the very things that I chased initially. I went as an innocent young man and a woman out of the house into the club. The first time was a shock, a culture shock, the language different, the environment different, everything different. But after going, you know, the 100th time there, I became part of it. I mastered it. And before I realized, I became a drug addict, alcoholic, with a lot of men, with a lot of women. Destroyed my life. And the end of this journey, when we chase the world, the end of the road is the grave. The world laughs into your face and makes it beautiful in order to lie to you and laugh at you at the end and bury you. I beg you, my son, don't go to the club. Don't go to have fun in a worldly ideology. Don't, because you are destroying your life. 100%, 100%, you're destroying your life. The world is nothing but a deception. The end is death. So what was all this about, since the world gave me death? All one big lie. I became a king and then I died. Big deal. I became the president of the most powerful nation in the world and then I died. Big deal. I was Caesar, Augustus Caesar. Where are you? Rotted, gone with the wind. Big deal. This is the world. I was a Hollywood celebrity. I became famous. I became so rich. And then I died. Saint Simon, the saint, the patron saint of this church, he was beheaded in the 4th century, over 1600 years ago. The church is named after him. Why? Because he never died. He who has the Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, has eternal life. After 1600 odd years, we still remember Saint Simon, the patriarch of the Church of the East. Who gives one penny about Caiaphas? Who gives one penny about Pontius Pilate? Who gives one penny about Augustus Caesar? Who gives one penny about all the empires that came into this world? Gone! Christ is the living Messiah. People still coming and receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and God in the 21st century. Over 2,000 years, He is still kicking and so powerfully. And so powerfully. From all over the world, are receiving Jesus as their Lord and God. Why? Because He is the living Messiah. He's the living Messiah. But since you're living in the world, take Christ with you. Don't leave Christ behind. You are living in the world, not for the world. You're living in the world, not for the world. So take Christ with you. And when you take Christ with you, Christ is not going to go to places that are wrong. Christ will not go to places that are wrong. Let Christ teach you. Let Christ show you the way. Let Christ be the good shepherd, because He is and there is no one else but Him. Let Him lead your steps to green pastures and still waters. Let the Lord show you the way, for He is the way, the truth and the life. Don't be deceived in chasing this vanity of all vanities. Don't chase the world, and the entire focus of your life is just this world and what it offers to you. Because everything the world offers to you and me, at the end, it was never mine. It will never be mine, because death will take everything away from me and you. Everything. Whatever you worked for, whatever you achieved, will be gone when death comes, takes the spirit out of the body. Everything will be gone. So now, how should we start thinking a fresh thing, a fresh thought? How, Lord, this house that I live in, even though you worked hard to build it, you worked hard to buy it, but the house is yours, Lord. It is not mine. This car, which I just got brand new from the car dealer, the car is yours, Lord. I'm just your chauffeur. I'm the driver. I'm not the owner. The money in the bank account, they're all yours, Lord. And since they are his, by the way, then he is free to do with his own possessions. Why are you standing in his way? When the Lord comes and says, give $1 million to the poor, you get a heart attack. Why do you get a heart attack? Because the money is still yours, not the Lord's. If it was the Lord's truly, you would be more than happy to give it. But since it's mine, I'm not going to give $1 million of my own money. No way in the world. All the poor people can go to hell. I don't care. But if it's the Lord's, you'll give it. Or you're not going to give it, but he's using you to do his work, to finish his job. So now the Lord comes and says, Bishop Murray, I want you to go over there. I'll say, I'm tired, Lord. I don't feel like going. I'm too tired. He'll say, hang on. Didn't you say, Lord, you're my king? You're my God? Yes, I did, Lord. Well, you're my property, aren't you? Yes, Lord, I am, I guess. Not you guess. You better believe it. Yes, yes, I confess, Lord, I'm your property. Then I'm free to do whatever I want to do with my property. So now get up and go, even if you're tired. When are we going to really wake up and think once in our life that I don't own myself, neither myself nor anything else, nor anyone else? Everything is the Lord's. Why are you acting as if you're the owner? You're a steward. You've been given this to look after till he calls you home. It's not yours, it's the Lord's. So to all church leaders, the church is not yours, nor anything else. It is all the Lord's. Have you asked the Lord before you made that decision? Have you prayed, dear church leader, before you took that step forth? What if the Lord is not happy about it? Are you going to say, well, the Lord put me here and he gave me the keys so I can tie and loosen whenever I want? No, whenever the Lord wants, not you. Even though he put you there, even though he gave you the keys, and even he said, when you tie it, it's tied in heaven, and when you loosen it on earth, it's loosened in heaven. But my way, leader, not your way, my way. I'm not absent. I'm the ever-present God. And I'm the only truthful owner of the church. I'm the head, remember? And there's only one head to the body. All of you are the body. You are the church, and the church is the body. But there is one head to this body, and his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So the church leader is not the head. He's the body. Placed as a leader by grace, not by merits. By grace, not by merits. The one who is the head by merits, by law, is Christ. We're all sinners. He's the only one who is sinless. So my beloved, do not be deceived by the world. Don't just chase the world. Come to the Lord Jesus. I beg you, come to the Lord Jesus, for he is the truth. Let him guide your steps. And when you wrestle with him, we'll find out next week what this wrestling was all about, my beloveds. May the Lord Jesus bless you always, guide you and protect you always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born again to eternal life. Amen. May the Lord Jesus bless you, guard you, and protect you all the days of your life, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace. The peace of Christ be with you always, my beloved. God bless you.